From the campus of Maharshi University of Management, this is World Radio KHOE 90.5 FM, and this is the program What's New on Campus. And today we welcome Ann Dietrich, president of the Truth in Labeling Coalition, whose sole agenda since July 2007 is to label genetically engineered food in the U.S. and in the disintegration of the world's food. Now, Ann has Nancy Cassidy here on the phone, and we'll be interviewing her. Nancy, is from La Jolla, California, and is the general manager of People's Organic Food Co-op, appointed by Governor Jerry Brown to the California State Food and Agriculture Board. And she has been in Fairfield visiting the greenhouses in Maharshi Bay City. And her mission in life is to require labeling of genetically engineering food in the U.S. She and her husband, Derek, will be in Fairfield?
With us.
Yeah, in Fairfield. Thank you for joining us, Nancy and Ann.
Pleasure being here.
So let's start off. I'm going to ask Ann to tell us a little bit about Nancy.
Nancy's my hero, actually. She and Derek have been friends of mine for the last 3.5 years and have taught me pretty much everything I know about an involved citizenry and what it takes to create change at the political level. And Nancy, tell us about the years you spent lobbying in the California legislature.
Well, I was there for about 10 years, and I lobbied for a number of issues specifically relating to women's health, and found that there was a great deal of education that needs to be done with legislators. No matter how much we are familiar with a subject and how much we think common sense would prevail, legislators are inundated with all sorts of requests for their time and attention. And I would say that that was probably the biggest takeaway, was how much educating we really do need to do.
Okay, tell us about the anniversary promise Derek made to you.
Oh, my. So Derek and I have been married for more than 40 years, 43, but actually on our 40th anniversary, he asked me what I wanted, and I said there was absolutely nothing that I could think of, that I had a blessed life and that I was just full of everything that I ever needed and needed nothing more. And he took a look at me and he said, "Okay, you're lying, and I just really want to know what it is you want." And I thought, oh, darn, we're going to go down this track of Derek feeling like I don't respect his ability to give me things or something. I don't know where we were headed. So I said, well, gosh, let me think. There must be something. And he said, yeah. And just, you know, get it out there, because after 40 years, I think you should finally level with me, you know, and let me produce for you and be your white knight. So I looked deep in my soul and I thought, you know, the two things I really do want, I want the nuclear power plant that I live 35 miles from shut down, and I want genetically engineered foods labeled. And I picked those two things because I had listened to Dennis Kucinich, the former congressman from Ohio, and he said in a world that has so many problems, he tries to prioritize by figuring what things will do the most harm to the most people over the longest period of time. And both of those issues, nuclear power and genetic engineering, are terribly impactful for hundreds of thousands of people, millions of people over hundreds of thousands of years. So I got that out and said, that's what I want. And he looked very relieved and said, great, okay, I'll get right on it. And within a couple weeks, surprisingly enough, we heard from a friend who is a former congressman who asked if there was anything we needed done in Washington, and that started our attempt to get genetic engineering on people's radar to begin with. As you know, Anne, when we first started, they thought GE meant General Electric. So we used Congressman Bates and found Anne in Iowa and got the Truth in Labeling Coalition activated. And I would say the last 3 to 4 years, we have seen a major transition in people's awareness about why they want transparency in the food that they eat and why they need to have labeling so they know what they're eating. And, of course, we had a major victory a year ago in that we did, in fact, have our nuclear power plant close due to unsafe practices. So I say we're 1.5 ways there and closing in on our second goal.
Awesome. And what do you mean, Nancy, when you say all we have in the U.S. is an involved citizenry?
What I mean by that is that's all we have left. I don't think it's all we have here in the United States, but I think it's all we have left to express the will of the people. The last 20 to 30 years, we have seen our government really co-opted by the wealthy and the interests of the international corporations, and that people in a democracy, which I don't we have currently in the United States, but we have the shell of a democracy, and we are rapidly losing our ability to impact policy because the citizenry is not taking responsibility for their part of civil engagement, which is required for a democracy to prosper. So when I think about involved citizens, I feel it's a responsibility of being an American to be involved and to learn enough to have an impact and to have the people's will supported rather than the money's will.
Right. What exactly does that take? I mean, how... I mean, can not everyone can do what you have done or what I've been doing for the last 7 years, but what do you suggest people do that care about their food and who care about the freedom or the American traditions of good food and freedom of choice? What can we do?
You know, everybody can do something. It might look slightly different, but everyone can make, number one, good buying choices for their family. And that means knowing that the food that they are purchasing has the best chance for being clean, nutritious, and safe, which means basically now eating organic food, eating sustainably grown food, eating local food where you know the growing practices. So everyone can make a difference by what they purchase. Everyone can write a letter. It does not have to be sophisticated. It does not have to be detailed. But everyone should be talking either by a letter or a phone call to their representative in the Congress to demand that we know what we're eating. And if you have a little surplus time, it's a lot of fun to actually get together with like-minded people and brainstorm things that you can do. We have a great group here in San Diego that like to make papier-mâché puppets that are huge. They put themselves up on stilts and come to all kinds of community events and parades as these puppets that sometimes have 3 arms and 6 eyes, and they're quite funny looking, but they have signs on them that say, keep GMOs out of my food, or many different slogans that get the word out in a kind of more lighthearted way. So there's lots of things people can do, starting with the simple choice of how they shop and eat. And then I, of course, believe it's a civic responsibility to communicate your views to your representatives.
And what's, so you're saying that it's a responsibility, it's our civic responsibility to communicate our views to our representatives. And how exactly does someone do that that hasn't done it before or doesn't think it will make any difference? Or people who think that, people who've never done it before?
Well, most people think someone else is going to do it. That's what I think, basically, is, well, I might have to go on a computer and type in, find my congressman. You know, it's really not that hard. They generally ask you to put in your zip code. Sometimes they ask you for a street address, and boom, up comes the name of the person, their contact information. And it's relatively simple to just take a postcard, which is actually the best way to communicate, because all letters to Congress right now are still going through the screener, which takes about 6 weeks of processing. So a postcard is a wonderful handwritten, please, I need to know what I'm eating and feeding my family, labeled genetically engineered foods, sign your name, give them your phone number or your address, put it in the mail. It's 50 cents well spent.
Very good. Thanks, Nancy. Tell us about what's happening at the co-op.
Oh, what's happening at the co-op? Well, it's summer here in California, so a lot of people are in, at the beach, and we're seeing a lot more folks coming in either bright and early in the morning or later in the day. And it's pretty quiet in the middle of the afternoon as people are having a lot of fun down at the water, where temperatures, our water temperatures are up to 74 degrees, which is a very warm ocean. And, you know, Anne, you've been here. We're just a block off the water, so we're very summer-oriented right now.
What's, is the buffet, the lunch buffet still popular? The
Yeah, we have a vegan deli. So, of course, we are a vegetarian store. We don't have any animal flesh products. But our deli also avoids any cheese or butter or eggs. And so that's a kind of destination for a lot of eaters. And we are seeing more takeout. People are making more picnics and getting their food choices to go. But it's still pretty busy.
Cool. I know Derek loves having breakfast there every day. Very lucky man. So when do you and Derek, my understanding is that you're planning on bringing a couple members of your board at the co-op to come tour the greenhouses. Are we still on track for that?
We're certainly planning that. Our board does do what a lot of people do in the summer, which is take vacations. So we're probably looking at sometime in the middle of the fall season.
Okay.
But we definitely want people to come. We want decision makers, thought leaders to have a look at that greenhouse, because I must say, of all the things I've done in agriculture, that was one that really changed my life.
How's that?
Just seeing what is literally a forest of food in 2 acres being grown with no poisons and obvious love, it was just amazing to me to see what could be produced, the variety and the volume of food. And, of course, out here in California, again, we're experiencing the third year of a drought, and in spite of some rosy predictions, I think we may see more drought for the next while. So food production is going to be needing to be rethought in California, and I, for one, think greenhouses are going to be one of the answers.
Is that something you've brought up in your position as a member of the California State Food and Ag Board?
Yes, right. I've talked about it. The Food and Ag Board is a kind of like one of those big ships that take a while to get turned in a new direction. So I've been on the board more than a year now, and I would say that gradually some of the ideas that first sounded really odd to people that do conventional farming are beginning to sink in as they realize what's the actual conditions on the ground, you might say.
Like what?
Like no water, huge labor problems as Mexico's economy improves and our immigration policies are still very uncertain. We're seeing way fewer workers coming up from the south. And then we have topsoil issues. We've done this chemical farming, and of course that does not, it's just completely harmful for the soil. And we're seeing conditions that are reminiscent of the Dust Bowl, where big swaths, thousands of acres in the Central Valley are not being planted and are literally blowing away.
That's really sad.
It's so preventable. It's more than sad. It's infuriating.
Yeah. What do you think the significance is of Senator Feinstein's letter to President Obama requesting an executive order requiring labeling of genetically engineered food?
I think the letter that Senator Feinstein sent was brilliant. It was exactly on point. The fact that she understands that when this policy decision was made at the Food and Drug Administration, it was made in the context of a technology that most people did not understand, and that things have really changed since education and information has become more accessible to the public. The fact that she was willing to write such a clear and strong letter is very indicative of the support this movement has. I know that Senator Feinstein keeps close tabs on how things are going in her state and how people are feeling about different issues. And even though our proposition was defeated, it was clearly defeated by the imbalance in spending. It was not a matter of people suddenly feeling that they didn't want to know what was in their food. I think they just were seduced by a campaign of disinformation and confusion. But not Senator Feinstein. She, I believe, understands very clearly the power that money had, and that that is not a reflection of what people really want. And while we're on the subject of politicians, I must say that I'm very, extremely disappointed in Hillary Clinton's stand that she expressed just a week or so ago, that she favors genetic engineering of food, and she doesn't think it's necessary that it be labeled as such, and that she thought she gave the industry a little advice. She thought it would be more palatable if we said that things were drought tolerant instead of genetically engineered. You know, use those softer words. So I'm very disappointed, and you know, feel that this is going to be a hurdle in certainly my support for her, any candidacy that she might want to consider.
Okay. How did Congressman Bates conceive of the women in the Senate campaign to label genetically engineered food?
Well, Congressman Bates is a good friend, and I have been telling him over quite a period of time that I think one of the biggest changes we need culturally in the world is that the men need to listen to the women. And I believe that more today than I ever have. And I think he took it to heart. And he sees that in the Congress, first of all, we have a minority position as women. I think there were 20% or 22% of the Congress. And we need to be coordinated. We need to be collaborating. And we need to be speaking up for future generations, for our elderly, for the sick. We really need to take our responsibilities as nurturing humans seriously and change the direction of what I consider to be ill-conceived strategies to address problems. And I think Congressman Bates took that very seriously, looked at the incoming group of women and thought, this is a good place to start. Let's start with the women in the Senate.
And it's working, it seems.
I think it's working. I think that there is more awareness growing and growing every single day that the things that we have pursued in America have been really false gods, that nuclear energy is a false god, that chemical agriculture is a false god, and we need to really get back to a world that is based on our natural world and the best impulses of humans, which is a cooperative society.
Nancy, that's utterly brilliant. I can't think of anything more to ask you. If you have anything more that you're inspired to say, please share it with us. Otherwise, can't wait to see you again. Looking forward to seeing you and Derek when you come to Fairfield to celebrate Organic Independence Day.
Thank you, Anne, and thank you for having presenting me with this opportunity.
And thank you, Anne and Nancy, for this interesting conversation on keeping our food safe. And we look forward to Nancy's visit to Fairfield.
Thank you.
And thank you, our listening audience, for listening to What's New on Campus on World Radio KHOE. And please join us again. Thank you, Nancy.
Thank you.
Love you, Nancy.
Love you, Anne. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.